In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. For the past almost 9 years, I have driven to work along the same route. I come down Stewart Road, turn left onto Park Heights, then right onto Greenspring Valley Road, and then right on Old Valley Road, and then left on Hillside, right on Falls, left on Lake, right on Charles, and left on Melrose, and right into the church parking lot. 4 left turns, 5 right turns, 8.5 miles one way, and average travel time is 18 minutes. As you might imagine, after 9 years, the routine has pretty much made me immune to paying much attention to encountering the unexpected. Frankly, my mind normally is not focused on my driving, but rather on my destination and what I have on my calendar that day, at least until last week. That day, I came down Stewart Road, turned left onto Park Heights, and made the right on Greenspring Valley. And that was when my routine was suddenly interrupted by the unexpected. My eye caught a glimpse of bright yellow, a swath of blazing color magnified by the rising sun. Behind a row of dark, dense green pines, I looked more closely and saw that it was a field of newly blooming sunflowers, probably 2 acres worth of glorious, happy flowers. The scene was a magnificent expression of God's creation. This startling scene was filled with awe, but it was also an important reminder that routines can become agents of passivity and apathy, that we can fall into the trap of not discovering treasures in our daily lives that are right before us. I have now committed to looking for something new every day during my drive to the church, to seeing something as if it were for the first time. Now, I offer this vignette as a backdrop to another example of being spontaneously awakened from a long-standing routine. And this time, it is a theological routine. Every Sunday, we start the service with the singing of a hymn, followed by the opening acclamation, "Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit," which transitions us into what is called the Collect for Purity. Last Sunday, as I prayed it, suddenly its beauty and depth leapt out at me, much like the startling appearance of the glorious sunflowers. This prayer is included weekly, but I had not paid real attention to its content and substance. Close your eyes for me now and listen with your heart as if for the first time. Let the images and phrases marinate your soul. Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. What a moving instrument these words are as an introduction to worship. Simple, yet so comprehensive. Out of curiosity, I wondered about the origin of this prayer. Did it have a history? What I found was surprising and has added to my spiritual attraction to it. So instead of a formal sermon today, I'm offering a theological reflection about the Collect for Purity. This short prayer can be traced back literally to the 8th century. It first shows up in a book of services put together by a man named Alcuin, who today we would say was Minister of Education. That's what he was to Charlemagne. History tells us that he composed this prayer for Charlemagne's coronation as the Roman Emperor on Christmas Day, 800. It was designed to remind the great king that indeed there was always to be a greater king. No matter how powerful Charlemagne became, God was more powerful. It was a call to humility. As time evolved, this collect became part of what's called the Sarum Rite, which in the 11th century was the cycle of worship services used in southern England. This is the medieval collection of services to which our current Book of Common Prayer is most closely related. In the Sarum Rite, this prayer formed part of the priest's private preparation before the public Eucharist began. In effect, the priest used this to spiritually ground himself in order to lead the service. Now we fast forward from the 11th century to the year 1549. That's when Thomas Cranmer published the first edition of our Book of Common Prayer. He intentionally included it as part of the congregational worship. He theologically justified the change from a private prayer to sharing it publicly with the whole congregation in order to minimize the hierarchy between lay and ordained, which existed at the time. What amazes me is that this Collect for Purity literally is the only piece of liturgy that has remained unchanged in the more than a dozen revisions of our Book of Common Prayer. Even more noteworthy is that it has been in existence in this form for over 1,200 years. The prayer itself starts with a simple acknowledgement that we are appealing to Almighty God, establishing the fact that God and we, in this moment, are in relationship one to another. It continues, "To you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid." This simple litany of truth declares that our hearts and desires are laid wide open, even without our doing anything. And then comes the zinger, "And no secrets are hid, no secrets are hid." In that statement, there is no pretending, nor hiding, nor fooling God. Then the Collect, having put us in the most vulnerable of states, does not allow us to pause in that defenseless position, but rather in the same sentence petitions us to action, succinctly and directly, "Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts," a clause that seems to wash our minds and spirit from debris that might be interfering with our relationship with God. And that cleansing is not to be done alone. Rather, by that wonderful clause, it is to be done by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. To invite that holy and freeing Spirit of God to be a partner in this petition is a reminder we are not alone in this prayer, that indeed we have a companion to encourage us, to motivate us. At this point, the colleague then points us to the focus of the petition, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Now, be careful not to get tripped up on that phrase, perfectly love you. As human beings, perfection is not attainable. But what is attainable is making ourselves so available to responding as faithfully as we can. That is reasonable. And with the integrity of that response, we, out of gratitude and joy, indeed, we will worthily magnify his holy name. The colic ends on that positive and encouraging note. It closes with the familiar, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Just as the unexpected discovery of the field of stunning sunflowers during my mundane drive has opened me up to other elements that I might be missing along life's highway, I hope that this colic for purity will likewise open your hearts to entering worship with a refreshed spirit. Now, look at your bulletin. Let's close by praying this, not saying it, but by praying it together. Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord. Amen.